In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory.
Brothers and sisters, in today's gospel, we hear of the miraculous healing of a blind man in Jericho by Jesus. Did you notice how persistently and intensely this man asked our Lord for healing? He asked, he cried out, he begged, so much so that the apostles even forbade him to shout out anymore, so as not to disturb the Lord, or you might translate that to stop disturbing the Lord. And the Lord called him and restored his sight. This story recalls, does it not, how persistently the pagan Syrophoenician woman also begged the Lord to heal her possessed daughter. And it recalls the perseverance of the woman with an issue of blood who pushed through the crowd in hope of receiving healing with one touch of Jesus' robes. Each of these examples show us, brothers and sisters, that when we are in need of God's grace, we should insistently and earnestly cry out to Jesus too, and be ourselves like this blind man of Jericho, like the Syrophoenician woman, and like the bleeding woman. Saint Cyril of Alexandria, whose feast we keep this day, says, "Faith is able to resist all and to triumph over all." The voice of one invoking in faith stops Christ, for he looks back upon them who call upon him in faith. In other words, our Lord does not ignore those who approach him in faith. Now, some of you have heard me say in private counsel, or maybe in the Orthodoxy 101 course, if you're dealing with something that causes you great anxiety or really great turmoil, don't pray too much. This is the advice of my own spiritual father. Pray, he said, when my mother had cancer, only once a day, or at most twice a day. And that, not for long, long periods of time. He said, we at the monastery will pray longer. Instead, he said, let come before the Lord in prayer, and then let all your actions through the rest of the day be a sign of your faith in God, that he heard your prayer and that he's answering it according to his will. So when I said, don't pray too much, or if I've said that to you, when there's a situation of great anxiety, the point is not somehow to contradict today's gospel reading. The point is to say that there's more than one form that our prayer takes. And many times the strongest form of our prayer is to take care of our duties at home, at work, with our families, here and there, in good faith that the Lord has heard our prayers, and this also becomes part of our prayer to the Lord. This, of course, is how our fathers interpret what James means when he says the prayers of a righteous person are powerful and effect much. And what the Lord says, it's not those who say, Lord, Lord, but those who do the will of my Father who is in heaven. So our fathers say the prayer should be brief, but often, but also the whole quality of our life. If it defines us as, St. James says, a righteous person, then the Lord hears our prayers. Does this make sense? Yes. Okay. While we don't necessarily want to pray with great anxiety, because sometimes if we're standing before the Lord casting our cares upon him, or one translation says, cast your anxieties upon him, while we want to do that, sometimes when we just stay there in prayer endlessly, we're not actually praying in faith to him. But what we're actually doing is bringing before him our lack of faith, because we're trying to sort of muscle it. This is what my spiritual father, Father Gabriel, would say. We're trying to muscle the Lord and command him to do what we want him to do, rather than making our earnest request and then resting that he's heard it. Do you see the difference there? It's pretty subtle. Okay. So, pray without ceasing, but pray also from a space of peace and not being given over to anxiety and building our anxiety in the name of prayer. Okay, now, how do we apply today's gospel to us today? I'd like to say basically the same thing I said to those last evening at Vespers, so please forgive me if you were here. Brothers and sisters, we are in the midst of a great spiritual battle. The evil one is not only trying to discourage your soul, he is trying to tear the very fabric of creation itself to pieces. He is trying to stomp out every green shoot that you see. He is trying to destroy every flower that you see. He is trying to unravel the entire creation. He is trying to put nation at enmity against nation. He's trying to put members of churches at enmity against other members of churches. He is trying to lead all human souls down into hell, which is eternal life separated from the one who made us. The battle we are in, brothers and sisters, is very real and very visceral. And I stand to you today as a still somewhat, you know, in a certain sense, very new priest, 5 years, maybe 6 years, having seen over the last 5 years things that would, as I said last night, cause your eyes to burn as far as the viciousness of the evil one. We see it when people are coming into the church. We see it amongst members of the church. None of this, brothers and sisters, is just sort of a benign thing that's just sort of happening because things sort of in entropy sort of tend themselves towards unraveling or falling apart. Things tend in the exact opposite direction because the Lord of glory is the Lord of heaven and earth, and his Holy Spirit still hovers over the creation as it did over the waters at the beginning of the creation. And he is the God who creates beauty and creates order. But the reason things are unraveling, if they are, brothers and sisters, is because we are not standing firm against the evil one. Listen to what St. Peter says. Be sober-minded. And in fact, he says this right after he says, cast your anxieties on him, for he cares for you. Okay, good. Next words out of his mouth. Be sober-minded. The word is nepsis. We talk about our watchful or sober-minded fathers, the neptic fathers. This is the word that comes from. Be sober-minded and be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith. Brothers and sisters, you can't go before the Lord in prayer, in your evening prayers, completely discouraged, completely distracted, and neglecting your intercessions for your brothers and sisters here in this community. The brothers and sisters in your own family, the brothers and sisters, you know, in our general cities and towns and nation, and in our whole world. The world stands and falls by the prayers of the church. And when the church is not offering those prayers, and people are saying, oh, I'm distracted, Father, I don't have time to pray, it affects all of us. Listen to what St. Paul says a little bit later, or in the book of Ephesians, in the great passage where he says, put on the whole armor of God. Why? That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The implication there is if you don't put on your armor, if you are lazy, if you are neglectful, if you just think the things that come to you are coming from the universe or from your own sense of dissatisfaction with life and are not specific attacks from the evil one, then you're not going to ever even think to put on the armor of God. But you need to put on the armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And listen what he says later on there. He says, pray at all times. This is 5-6 verses later. Pray at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with perseverance. It's the same word, nepsis. Making supplications for all the saints. Praying for one another. Interceding on behalf of the church. On the behalf of those who are coming into the church. And also, he says, for me, that utterance may be given me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel. St. Paul is saying in Ephesians chapter 6 that his success or failure as a preacher of the Holy Gospel, as the great apostle of the church, one of the greatest apostles of the whole church, that his success stands or falls with the prayers of the faithful. It's not just about him in his own personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, Abba Anthony said to Abba Pieman, "This is the great work of man, always to take blame for his own sins before God and to expect temptation until when?" You all know the quote, "until his last breath." There is no peace in this world for the Christian other than the peace which passes all understanding. The peace that the Lord gives when we are active in the life of prayer, in our life, in Christ, and interceding fervently on behalf of one another. Be sober and alert. Be watchful. This, brothers and sisters, is why the church fasts. We don't fast so that we can grow a little bit more holy in life in Christ. We fast because otherwise we stand in peril of the evil one tearing us apart, tearing our families apart, sending people to the grave in an untimely fashion. If I told you the text messages I said this last night that I received this week, again, it would cause your eyes to burn of ways the demons are trying to tear people apart within the body of the church. And again, those who are coming toward the church. So I just want to encourage us all this morning to take the example of blind Bartimaeus, who is the man in this gospel passage today. We know his name because the same miracle is recounted in the book of Mark. To take the example of blind Bartimaeus and use the Jesus prayer, his form of it, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And to constantly look to him who is the source of our healing and of our victory. And to understand and put into context the things that are happening in our lives in terms of the great spiritual battle that is among us. The last thing I said last night, the last thing I'll say this morning, is that when we pray with strength from our hearts, God gave us the strength to stand and pray. So it's all glory goes back to him, of course. But when we pray well from our hearts, when we labor and we find what the fathers say, the incensive power or the power of anger within us. This is a power God put within the human soul. It's one of the three powers of the soul. The incensive power. He put it in us. Why? To get us to fight against evil in this world. To fight against injustice. Or as St. Paul says, our fight is not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, the powers, the world rulers of this present darkness. So this idea that the Christian life is just a tiny little peaceful thing where there's not a great combat going on is a great fallacy. Life in this world, as St. Anthony said, is one where we expect temptation to our last breath, and we fast to our last breath, and we stand with strength to our last breath. And as we do so, brothers and sisters, the Lord of glory comes in and shows us that his power and his might is greater than all of the things which are afflicting us and all of the things which are attacking us. And we see through the illusion that the evil one is trying to weave around us. And then we come to peace in him, and then his kingdom will move forward. So I'm eager, brothers and sisters, to see us not weak, flabby, discouraged, distracted Christians who are having things happen to us that we're interpreting. In the modern world, we interpret in terms of psychological experience. No, the devil prowls about, and he's doing everything he can. As soon as people start moving towards holiness, you know, you've heard me also say, our first priest in Boston used to say, the devil doesn't hang around in bars. Because nobody's trying to do anything spiritual with their lives. They're not trying to move forward. But as soon as we start to move in a spiritual direction, the devil comes and tries to tear us apart, more so than any of the rest of creation. So let us, brothers and sisters, strengthen one another by being faithful, each and every one of us, in our daily prayers, in our intercessions for one another, cloaking ourselves with humility in our relationships with one another, being quick to forgive one another. And when we hear about needs that are happening in the church, quick to pray that the Lord himself would come and strengthen us to the glory of his name.